So today's VOD if I have to give it a catchy title would be The Seven Secrets of Being Zoche B'Din on Rosh Hashanah. Not to be confused with The Seven Habits of Successful Rosh Hashanah People. But The Seven Secrets How to be Zoche B'Din in Rosh Hashanah. And to be honest, I don't think all these are secrets. Someone before the Rebbeim came over to me, asked me I'm giving a vada, and I said, seven secrets, I have six. Do you have one for me? So he took a shot. Two of his shots are both on my list. So I'm very happy. It means it's not the biggest secret, and it also means that it's something which is muskum lakol. But I think I definitely do have some secrets in there of seven ways to be Zoche B'Din for Rosh Hashanah, and we'll go through the seven, but first to just give a little preface about the day of Rosh Hashanah. Many people, I think, experience Rosh Hashanah in many different ways. Perhaps the variety of ways that Rosh Hashanah is experienced probably trumps any other yontif. Like in Sukkot, you sit in the Sukkot and you shake a little Nesrok. Pesach, you eat your matzah. Okay, so either eat your matzah in Mexico or in your house, but maybe not anymore in Mexico or San Juan for that matter. Shavuos, hopefully people learn Torah. You know, most Yom Tovim, there's a pretty clear way how to celebrate it, how to observe it. Rosh Hashanah, especially in the world today, has evolved into so many different ways how people observe it. Now, in a certain sense, it's pretty much the same. What do you mean? You go to shul and you daven. It's the same nusach and the same, you know, tunes that been going on for ages. That part is true. But there's so much about the atmosphere about Rosh Hashanah has changed. You know, in the classic shuls, you know, you'll have a chazan and they'll daven the davening and the rav will give a speech and people will debate and bet, you know, the over-under. What time did you finish? How long is your davening? That's like the most important question. How long was your davening? What time did you finish Rosh Hashanah? Well, they serve at the Kiddush. But Baruch Hashem, I think, has been more popular nowadays. I believe all major yeshivas are absolutely packed on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Nerayim. There are many, many people in our society today are B'nai Yeshiva. And even if they themselves are no longer in yeshiva, they're not a bachur in yeshiva, they're not a kol in gaman, they're not a rebbe, but there are many, many people that will return back to their yeshiva, or even not even their yeshiva, but they want to be a part of a big yeshiva on Rosh Hashanah. It's an amazing thing. I'm thinking back, those who were zoche, most of the guys here, to be on Summersman in Eretz Yisrael, you know what it means to be back in a packed place, what we saw in Tisha B'Av. In the Mir Yeshiva. The Yeshiva decided we're going to go and daven the night in the Mir Yeshiva. It was absolutely jam-packed. In fact, the guys sitting next to me, the Mir guys, were saying they had thought there was poshut more people for Tisha B'Av than there were even Yom Run. I went to the bathroom, it took 15 minutes to get back to my seat. Every square inch was jam-packed with people, and you felt, just by the mass of people, like you're part of something like, wow, like very exciting. Like, you know, I got my spot here. I'm not giving it up. You know, the only way people to move, Chas Hashem, someone fainted. That was like, you know, Hatzol guy had to come in a motorcycle helmet to get through the crowd. Otherwise, you know, who do you think you are? You're Hatzol guy. I'm here first. I'm waiting online. Absolutely jam-packed. So you have places like that to be a part of. I'm Davin in Lakewood, in Panovich, in Chafetz Chaim, in Chevron, all these places are mamish jam-packed with Talmidim, tons of Talmidim, all to be there, to be part of the davening, Rosh Hashanah. It's also evolved over the years. This other place out there in the Ukraine, what's it called again?
Uman.
Rosh Hashanah in Uman has also become a new fad. People from all over go there. Just yesterday, a former Talmud of mine was frantically calling me, you know, okay, you know, I'm quite busy here. This guy knows it's not so easy to get in with me, especially on the phone. This guy's calling like three times. Okay, it's an emergency. I don't know. You know, the guy's already shidduchage. Okay, take the call. I actually had two of these calls. One guy I was expecting to be engaged. You know, he wanted to ask me a stira and Rashi's and Chumash. But this other guy had a very, very pressing question. What was his pressing question? He's like, Rabbi, I'm going to Amman for Rosh Hashanah. Seems he's been there, done that before. Huh? And what? And and he turns to me. He turns to me, or on the phone at least. And he's like, Rebbe, I'm going through Amman for Rosh Hashanah. My flight back is on Sunday. Som Gedalia. So I'm leaving Ukraine. In the morning is the fast. I'm flying back to America. I calculated my fast will be 22 hours long. Rabbi, is there a heter to fast less? I'm like, no. But like I thought to myself, like he's complaining about the fact, no, don't get me wrong. It's 22 hours not eating. I get that. But to get to Ukraine, to get to Amman, what do you think that is? It's also 22 hours. There's no direct flights there, and you have to go from there to there. I know people go there. It's a mamash, a malacha, too. But that's 22 hours to a party. This is 22 hours back from a party, and you're not eating. So, okay, I get it. But people experience Rosh Hashanah in many, many different ways. And here in Yeshiva, I think it is very important. You know, Baruch Hashem, the guys, the older guys in Yeshiva who have been here before, hopefully will realize, already realize, and they treasure that to be in Yeshiva for Rosh Hashanah is a big deal. Because you're in an environment of people davening, of people around you, serious about davening, serious about the day. And it takes on a new light for many people, totally different than an environment they've been in before. And it's a special thing. We also have alumni coming back. Some tried to come back. But we also have alumni coming back and many different people from the community. And especially this year, you know, what you can't imagine what's been going on in this community over the past 2 weeks from the hurricane, post-hurricane. The idea that we're actually going to somehow be able to sit down and make Yontif where everyone's going to have power, hopefully everyone will have food, like, it's unbelievable. I don't think anyone's ever worked that hard for a simple three-day Yontif of Rosh Hashanah as people in this community did this year. It's pretty amazing. And from Tzara Agra, I'm sure it'll be an amazing, amazing Rosh Hashanah. So it's definitely something nobody wants to miss. And it's hopefully an amazing experience we're about to have over the next few days that the image will last with people forever. That being said, okay, so we're in the right place, the right time. So what do I do to make my Rosh Hashanah better? So the first Eitza, number one, I'd like to give to you. I heard many years ago from Rav Asher Arieli Shlita. But Asher does not talk much Mussar. He's basically no-nonsense share. I was there, his last share with his man in Eretz Yisrael. He was so excited. He made a siyum on the entire first parak of Gittin. Gave share in the entire parak. He just like ran through the last Gemara to just like get there. He was all excited that we got there. He thanked the guys in share for helping him get there. But I did hear one time that he spoke about Rosh Hashanah, Yom Narayim, and he quoted over a Chaye Adam. Chaye Adam, major halacha sefer, writes the following about Erev Rosh Hashanah, which for the record, we're in now. Erev Rosh Hashanah, hu ha-yom ha-achron b'shana. Erev Rosh Hashanah is the last day of the year, right now, last day of the year. Well, about to daven the last Ma'ariv of the year. The Kibul Chazal, and Chazal had a Masorah, Yom Echad B'Shana, whoever does tshuva one day of the year, Chashiv Ki'ilu Shav Kol Hashana. It's as if he did tshuva the entire year. And therefore, Vakta Chaya Adam, the last day of the year, he quotes later, HaKol Holach Achar HaSof, everything goes after the ending. The last day of the year is a tremendous, tremendous opportunity. V'chol Yom Yasek B'Torah V'Mitzvah, the whole day, person should try to be involved in Torah and mitzvahs. The whole day, his mind should be focused on tshuva. So this Chaye Adam is a tremendous, tremendous etza. Is think about it. Most guys over here, I remember as a bacher, what do you have to do in Erev Rosh Hashanah? If you happen to live in the neighborhood and you have responsibilities of Kivud Arba'im to help out your parents, by all means. And that's a chiva, they will get to that. Perhaps that's another way to be mezakeh b'din. But for most guys in yeshiva, really the reason why we're off an Erev Rosh Hashanah is because all us Arba'im are busy. And stop. You know, there's a minhag we give off. We don't put extra days in the calendar. But really, what does a guy have to do? Get up in the morning, say slichos, shachris, atar sedarim. Here, look at the schedule. Shachris is 7 o'clock, slichos is 7 o'clock. The next thing on the schedule is seder at, I forgot what time he put it, 5:30. Right. You have from the morning till 5:30 off. It's an open day. Okay. You have to go to the mikvah, pools, here, there. Like it, don't like it, okay, whatever. But what else do you have to do? Mamash, a full day open. Mamash, no. Again, people don't have to, you know, not advocating that people have to sit and learn the entire day. But to whatever degree a person could do, public care, it counts more. It's one thing you come to Seder, but another thing, when there isn't Seder, to take off some time and learn. A person who does that shows Hashem, look, I'm doing tshuva. I'm a different person. I want to grow. I want to learn. And I'll learn my free time on a day off. It's perfect. Mamash l'shma. Taylor l'shma. That's what a person could get if you do Torah, you do Musar, whatever you do in Erev Rosh Hashanah, the last day of the year counts a lot. So that, I would say, is eitzah number one, 7 secrets to the Zocheh B'din B'Rosh Hashanah. Number one, quote this Chaya Adam, that a person should make the most of Erev Rosh Hashanah. If you do tshuva the last day of the year, it's considered as if you did tshuva the whole year. Not bad. That's a good sale. Number two. This one, I just told the story over the other day to some of the guys, but I'll quickly say it over to the rest of them. And good nice story to remember. I remember when I was in Eretz Yisrael, so one of my friends from Brooklyn, I described him as somebody who, you know, grew up living the life of Riley. The description I had was, out in his house, no one in his family ever had to shovel snow. It's not because they paid people to do it, but it's because his sidewalks were heated. And any time it snowed, his parents' father pressed the button, and automatically the snow would melt underneath the sidewalk. I don't know too many people that have such things, but this guy did. Go Joe. Anyway, I'll tell you one thing. If Joe had sidewalks that were heated, he also had a living maid, and I bet he never peeled a potato in his life until he was in Eretz Yisrael. The yeshiva had a cook who was this old lady, the Gevedet, I told guys, made very good schnitzel. And I remember walking in to the kitchen on Erev Rosh Hashanah later in the afternoon, and I saw this guy in the kitchen peeling potatoes for the Gevaret. I'm like, what? Like, I remember I said something to him once, like, Joe, what are you doing? He's like, I figured she might need some help. And in those days, you know, Rav Moshe Chait was still, his shmuzim was still in his heyday. And he would see these beautiful, beautiful shmuzim, slabalka type shmuzim, about chesed. And he really built up in the eyes of the guys in the yeshiva the chashivas of what it means to be a bal chesed. To go help out people is an amazing thing. And this guy couldn't think, what's a better thing for me to do in Erev Rosh Hashanah than go to the kitchen and help out this old lady peel potatoes? Lamaisa, in retrospect, could be I spent this over this guy's, I'm not sure if I said it by his Shavu Brachos, by his Zofrof. I was by his Zofrof. They had a choir to call him up. It's fun. But Lamaisa, this guy, went from being a Baal Chesed, peeling potatoes. There's a major organization, the New Yorkers here probably heard of it, called Chasdei Lev, which gives out a crazy amount of food to Rebbeim and Kol families before the Yom Tovim. This guy is actually one of the driving forces behind Chasdei Lev. All it started was from helping some old lady peel potatoes. It's pretty cool. But that's a big schus to be Zocheh B'din. You know why? Chafetz Chaim writes about it. That if you're merachim al brios, the midah keneged midah, Hashem's going to be merachem on you. If you do chesed with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children, don't you think Hashem's going to do chesed to you? So all year round, we have all these slabalka shmuz and what chesed is, mahu afata, and all the tremendous reasons why a person should look to grow to become a baal chesed, a real BC. But kol shekem in yamin harayim, where I'm showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, Hashem, I want to do chesed. I want to have rachmanas on the person. Please have rachmanas on me. Mida keneged mida. Just last night, I got a call late last night that there's an amazing amount. It's unbelievable. One of the biggest problems here in this community was, Baruch Hashem, for the most part, people didn't get damage in their homes. And Baruch Hashem, people were physically okay. But many people lost freezers full of food that people have. Many people have multiple freezers. And lots of them got lost in the power outages that basically are widespread in this neighborhood. And, you know, Baruch Hashem, some people were able to, people have generators and this. I think I bounced my food around three different freezers. But a lot of people lost a lot of stuff. And it's not so easy to just, okay, I'll just rebuy it all. There's nothing in this, a lot of the stores, a lot of things are not there. Even in the major stores, Publix, you can't get eggs. In Publix, in any of the major supermarkets, there's no eggs. Luckily, I went like right after they reopened Walmart. I got like a huge thing of eggs. Okay, Baruch Hashem, Siyat Hashmaya. But you can't get many things. So Bali Chassan went, and they basically collected, got donations from all the major food companies in New York, plus different benefactors over here in the community. Basically sponsored food. They filled up warehouses of food for the entire community. Just come, just take. I was there tonight along with everyone else in the community. An unbelievable amount of food for free. Just everybody just take food, fill up your freezers. And part of the only way this was, I saw the operation today. Today they must have had 50 volunteers, everyone, okay, by each pallet giving out things. Last night there were 8 people doing it. The 3 Baal Batim who were involved in running it, and 5 guys from this yeshiva. That was it. 8 people, 3 Baal Batim, 5 guys from this yeshiva were there helping arrange the stuff. This morning, you know, okay, someone asked me to help out. You know, the question made sense. I was after Seder. You know. I got the amount of Yashikoch the yeshiva got was like off the charts. Guys made a good Kiddush Hashem too. That's maybe another topic. But you never know. You do a chesed. That's an amazing, amazing way a person could spend Erev Rosh Hashanah or spend Lav Davka Erev Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, Seres Mechuva. Whatever chesed a person should do, whatever hechrach a person has to do chesed the rest of the year, to do it Davka during this time, the time of Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaRayim, Seres Mechuva, whatever chesed a person could do is a tremendous, tremendous schus, a second secret to be Zoche B'din. That's 2. Number 3, I think, is a chiddush. I think I definitely get credit for a chiddush for number 3. But 3, I think, double dips. I think it's a chesed, but I think it's something beyond the chesed. Let me explain. There are many chassanim I could do to people in this world, right? My neighbors, my roommates, I could do something to them. I interact with them. I see them. I could do chesed. Baruch Hashem, nowadays in the world, you know, you could be in contact with a person. You could do something for a person. You don't even have to see them. You know, I could send a package to Eretz Yisrael, to Mexico. I could do chesed with somebody without ever seeing them. FedEx it. I could call someone on the phone. I could text them a nice message. But how do you chesed? Somebody, Rachman Son, is not here. Chesed im amesim. Obviously, shas patir of a person, you can do chesed. So, there's a concept, which is actually a gemara we had last year in Yavamos, of sof sof dovkos bekever, of hemed yeshiva al kivra, that when a person learns the Torah of a person who passed away, that itself is a tremendous chus for the nefter. When you learn a person's Torah, it's as if he's alive. That's what Chazal mean by sof sof dovkos bekever. His lips are literally moving while he's in the kever. And that itself is a tremendous schus for the nifter. I may be able to talk to him, I may be able to give him something physically, but to give someone spiritually something is an amazing thing. And specifically, the person who deserves to be spoken about is Rabbi Sharfman. Is, I'm sure, you know, really, Rosh Hashanah is probably a time that it's good to think about Rabbi Sharfman a lot. People probably should think about him every day. But Kol Shekein Rosh Hashanah, Kol Shekein when you hear that last Rosh Hashanah was Nigzer. And obviously, you know, we all tried what we could do to change that. But Lamaisa, you know, it's the first Rosh Hashanah that the yeshiva is going through without Rabbi Sharfman. And his family started just this week sending out shirim from Rabbi Sharfman. The shirim, I'm not sure what they include. They're not just the Sunday shirim, but there are other vadim and shirim that the family is able to collect on tape, which the family is sending out one shir a week to whoever wants to sign up for these emails. And a few guys in the yeshiva already told me about it that they signed up. And the first one they signed that they sent out was a shir that he gave somewhere on the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah. Now, that itself, I'm getting a perush on the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah is something that could tremendously help my davening. So even if it was a shir from some other Rav, it's a kedai thing to listen to on our Rosh Hashanah or during the Seres Mi'atshuva. But Kol Shekein, where it's somebody, whether you were Talmud and knew Rabbi Sharfman, or even the new Talmudim that didn't know Rabbi Sharfman, but they heard of him. Lamaisa, when you listen to that share, that's a schus for him. That's a chesed for him. And the Rosh Yeshiva, Zatzal, used to say, very, you know, trust him on this one. He says, people could do for you more upstairs than they could do for you downstairs. To whatever degree, and we know Rabbi Sharfman definitely was Moser Nefesh to do for Talmidim here in Yeshiva, but when you're in Shemayim, you could do even more. And wouldn't that be an awesome schus if you had the schus of Rabbi Sharfman to be a male Tzelesha for you? That you're learning his Torah? That you're listening to something that he said? You're mezakeh him by hearing a shir that he said? And besides, there's also a schus, a chesed for this world. You know, you could tell Rebbe Sharfman that, hey, you know, I listened to a shir, it's a very good shir. That'll give her tremendous chesed. But that's a wonderful chesed I think people can relate to. I think there's a few guys who already have the share download. I'm sure they can lend it out to other people. If not, we can figure out more ways for people to get it. But to listen to a share from Rabbi Sharfman, especially if it's one of Rosh Hashanah, a wonderful, wonderful way. So that was secret number three. Once we're already on the topic, we touched on tefillah. Tefillah is definitely a very simple concept for a person to think about and work on for Rosh Hashanah, but really, perhaps, also for the whole Aseres Mi'atshuva. And there are different mahalchim how people could spend time understanding tefillah better. I spoke about this in a vow with some of the guys the other day. You know, different people have different paths. Pun intended, right? There's pathway to prayer, a relative of one of the Bnei Yeshiva over here, which is a wonderful, wonderful sefer that people could use to at least slow down their Shemona Esrei, but definitely to understand the Shemona Esrei better. There are different svarim in Hebrew and English which explain tefillahs. I'll give two etzas quickly about how to be zocha in tefillah. One etzah is the classic way people are more zocha in tefillah, have more kavan in tefillah, so they understand better what they're saying. So one way is just to understand every word, what it means. But perhaps an easier thing, and someone told me this week when I said it over, Rabbi Sharfman says, the best thing art school ever did. I think that was the line, right? Mm-hmm. The best thing art school ever did. Art school did a lot of good things. But if you look in the Shemona Esrei, before every bracha, it gives a header, a headline. Avos, Gevuros, Bina, Tshuva, Slicha, Geula. Pretty poshut for the 18/19 brachas of Shemona Esrei. But if a person knows what all those words mean, that's a concept. And that concept, even if you don't know what every word in the paragraph means, but when you read that paragraph, if you think of that concept, then it'll be much easier for me to have kavana, what I'm saying. I'm thinking about the concept of Bina. Hashem gives me understanding. Now, okay, in Atachoni, you break down all different types of understanding. But the general theme is understanding. The general theme over for Einu is Refuah. And so too, through all the brachas. Really, that's a type of trick a person himself could do if he has some time to spend before Rosh Hashanah, before Yom Kippur, to open up an English machzor, to go through a machzor, and take a paragraph or two and summarize a theme in that paragraph. I'll tell you personally, I did that years ago in my slichas. In my slichas, I'll pick like one line out of a paragraph and I'll highlight it. And that'll be something I'll try to think about. I may not know the perush of every word I'm saying, but this is something I'm focusing on when I'm saying this tefillah, when I'm saying this slicha. And specifically, there are many things guys can focus on, but perhaps one thing you could, it's kedai to research better, to have a better understanding of, is the tefillah of Aleinu. It's something we're going to say the entire Sefer Shemei Teshuva, just like we do the rest of the year, three times a day at the end of every tefillah. But for some funny reason, on Rosh Hashanah, it's the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. I can't resist to tell the story. I remember the first time I was davening on Shemoneh Esrei, and I was a kid. I was probably 10-something years old. I was probably younger, 9, 10. And I remember I was davening Shemoneh Esrei, and all of a sudden, I got up to Aleinu. I guess my Rebbe didn't prepare me why is Aleinu in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. I'm like, wow, I must have ran past a stop sign. Why am I up to Aleinu? I remember I looked around, like some of my Zaidi, Alav Shalom's friends, these older men who I always, they must talk very quickly. I always remember these old men used to finish my lesson pretty quick. I looked around, they're still davening. I'm like, huh? I beat them? I'm up to Aleinu? So I didn't realize Aleinu's still, it's not the end of Shemoneh Esrei, it's right there in the beginning, still. Beginning of Malchios. But to know what Aleinu is, the theme of Aleinu, what it's about, be Mekabel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your majesty, and make good songs out of it. So, to know that is something you could have in mind and have a better understanding of tefillah. Even if a person improves his tefillah this amount, that's a big deal. That's what Hashem wants. Especially if you color tefillah with what a person goes through in life, challenging situations, Baruch Hashem, you're thankful. A guy was talking to me today, he's like, I want to say Shechiyano when I got my power back. I mamish want to say Shechiyano. I was trying to think, what bracha could I make? You know, maybe I'll have more kavana in Havdalah, Hamavdol, Ben Kol Shechor, Ben Or L'Choshech. I should have more kavana in there. So he made me think. I said, by the way, I think we make a bracha on that every day. I said, don't we say, in the beginning of Perchas Kriyashma, Yotzer Or Uvarei Choshech. Created Or, and he also made Choshech. Ose Shalom Uvarei Sakol. Right? We make brachas in these things. Just never realized them because it never impacted my life. I never realized that this week what difference it makes in my life if I have power or not. How much a difference. So that's number four. To work on tefillah to some degree. Now, the last three of my seven secrets to be Zoche B'Din Rosh Hashanah all deal with Kabbalahs. And really, somebody today asked me a very good kasha. He's like, and to be honest, it made me think. I've been hanging around on Red Luban definitely these past 4 years, Yom Naram. And before that, I've been hanging around him, you know, Baruch Hashem, Zoche to be for Red Luban, Kanana Hara. Besides my 4 years here in Miami as the Rebbe, I also had 3 years as a Bacher. 2 years as a Bacher when I was younger, and 1 year as a Brancher. And I remember even thinking that I don't know why the entire Queens is not here branching right now. But what Luban does and offers, you know, not excluding our other Chashav Rosh Hashivas, Rabbi Neumann, Rabbi Kaga, but Rabbi Luban specifically has such bekias in Kabbalahs and understanding what Rosh Hashanah is about. Like, it's a different Rosh Hashanah if you hang around him. But Rabbi Luban is very into Kabbalahs. So I had to like step back when the guy asked me the kasha. He's like, you know, why do we make Kabbalahs? He was like, interesting kasha. He's like, look, I'm in yeshiva. I'm learning, I'm growing all the time. So like, is like a kunz, a trick to make a Kabbalah? Like, do I have to make Kabbalahs? And I stepped back for a second and thought about Taka, you know, It is a pretty basic concept. But you know what? Right, Luban pushes it a lot. And I'm sure in other places, not talked about as much. So, Taka, what's really the reason why we make Kabbalahs? And this is, maybe they explain a little bit better, number five over here. Why to make Kabbalahs? So, the most basic reason to make Kabbalahs is being the fact that now is the time that we're inspired. So we want to act in that inspiration. If we don't act in the inspiration we have, it evaporates. One of the most basic concepts in Mussar. So you're right, all year round I'm working, I'm striving, I'm growing, but there's something special about the Yom Ha'Nora'im. That's an opportunity of inspiration. You see other people around, everyone's chopping something. So, okay, one of the most basic concepts in Mussar is you chop when there's inspiration, don't just let it pass, do something. So the doing something is making a Kabbalah. That's the most basic answer to the guy's question. But I think there's another step to it. And this Rabbi Luban also will quote many times from Rabbeinu Yonah. And this is a real big deal. I'll tell you a story too. I've told this story before, but it's an amazing story. I can't resist. One year I was learning with a friend of mine on Shavuos, my first year back in Queens, post going to a branch. And this high school friend of mine, which I, to be honest, wasn't even much of a friend in my high school years, but he was a Baal Bas, he wasn't, you know, fully in yeshiva, came to the yeshiva on Shavuos night, and I learned with him. And the guy got very inspired Shavuos night. I still remember the sugya I learned with him. Oh boy. Many years ago. And Lamaisa, after that Shavuos, the guy made a Kabbalah. He was like, I want to make a Seder every day. He was inspired, so he made a Kabbalah. Okay. Ended up, I remember he was pushing me, okay, let's make a Seder. I said, I have no time. So he made a Seder before davening. That was Kiddush in the Nedarim Zman 3 cycles ago, so it's 19 years ago. About 18, 19 years ago. Rabbeinu Yonah says, you know how Kabbalahs work? The moment you make a Kabbalah to do something, and you make it B'Lev Shalom, I want to do something, you get credit for whatever that Kabbalah produces. Right now. This is Rabbeinu Yonah in Avos, on the Mishnah, Kosha Maisam Rubim and Chachmaso, Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva and Shar Beis, under the term Nasa V'Nishma. Rabbeinu Yonah says, right then and there, you get credit for that whole Kabbalah. So think about it. That guy made a Kabbalah. It wasn't on Rosh Hashanah. It was on Yom Kippur. You can make Kabbalahs the whole year. It's not only on Rosh Hashanah. He made one on the Motzi Shavuos that he's going to learn, make a Seder with me. Blayon Hara, 18 years later, the Seder's still going. So he gets a schar when he made that Kabbalah, right then and there, the down payment for all those years. 18 years, he already got. Plus, Bezer Hashanah. Right then and there. So Rabbi Luban would always say, that's a tremendous idea you need to have going into Rosh Hashanah. We need more schosim. What a way to get an amazing schosim. If you make a Kabbalah and that Kabbalah lasts, it lasts a month, you get the schos for the month now. It lasts 3 months, you get the 3 months now. If it lasts 3 years, you get all those schosim already now. And you get the schosim later. You could double dip and triple dip. That's part of the chop of a Kabbalah. Amazing down payments. So that's a good reason. I think so. We'll hack it all out. But that is a pretty good reason, no? That's a nice chiddush. Why people should make Kabbalahs. That was number 5. Number 6 and number 7. Number 6 is really going back to my dear Talmud who asked this question. Number 6 is really part of his question. Why do I need to make Kabbalahs? I'm learning all the time. I'm learning Mussar all the time. Really learning Mussar all the time is one of the most ultimate Kabbalahs. That's the Reshiva would say, and they would quote that many times. In fact, I think the Vav Chizik on Mussar even has it on their sheet, and the guys here can check it, that the Reshiva would quote Rabbi Sol Salanter, that someone who's makabal upon himself to learn Mussar, he's already considered Begeter Osei Tshuva. You didn't change anything. You change nothing of your ways. I'm still a Baal Kas. I'm still a Baal Taiva. I'm not nice to my roommates. Kibbutz Aim needs improvement. You're already Begeter Osei Tshuva. I ain't changed anything. If you're mekabel to learn Musar, you're similar type idea, right? I'm the herring. I don't think I've ever chopped that before, especially with this Rabbeinu Yonah. Because if you're mekabel to learn Musar, ma'at ma'at, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, it's going to make a roshim, it's going to change you. So even though it's not here right now, but this is the first step. So a Kabbalah to learn Musar. And Baruch Hashem, we're ready in the Musar Yeshiva, we already learned Musar. Okay, but it's a Kabbalah to learn Musar on a higher level, to be more serious about it, to really take it to heart. A person's Mekabbalah to learn Musar, big, big schus, to be Zoch B'deh. That's number 6. And finally, I'll give you number 7. Number 7, we also credit to Rabbi Saul Salanter, but it's a big deal. I think a very big deal. And this is Rosh Hashiva. You know, I think the idea of, think about how to give this vad. I thought specifically of doing a smorgasbord of 7 different reasons. Because you know what? Some reasons, some people were like, some reasons, other people were like this way. There's something for somebody. You want a special eitzah to be Zoch B'din, take one of the 7, whatever floats your boat. But the Rosh Hashiva, this is one that he would talk about a lot. Is Rabbi Yisrael Salanter would quote the tefillah, I'm sure many guys here have heard this, Rabbi Luben says this over, that we say Yom Nerayim, first Hosafa that we make, Zachreinu L'chaim, El Chafetz B'chaim, the Kosvenu B'sefer HaChaim, L'mancha El Kim Chaim. L'mancha El Kim Chaim means Hashem, I'm living for you. L'mancha, for you, El Kim Chaim, please give me life. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter would give a mashal, which is definitely very true, is, you know, sometimes you work as an executive for a business. The business gives you a spending account. I can even pull out mine. They give you a credit card. Company credit card. Company credit cards are fun. Because if there are expenses and you need things, don't worry. It doesn't come out of your pocket. It comes out of the company credit card. Pull out the credit card and you put it on the tab. The Rosh Hashiva said, you know what? If we were using our chosim on Rosh Hashanah, we're in trouble. Our account, you know, our credit line is overdraft. We used up our credit. But if your boss is a multimillionaire and he has the ultimate credit card, then if you just put on his tab, don't worry about it. There's no overdrafts over here. Spend what you want. When you're somebody who the tzibur needs, you're somebody who does things for the tzibur. That, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, is l'mancha l'kim chayim. Hashem, part of my life, I'm living to help out you, to help out your people. L'mancha l'kim chayim. Then you get an extra schus. Whatever your own personal schusim, okay, maybe you don't deserve all the good things. You work for Hatzalah. You work for the yeshiva. You work to help out a gemach. They rely on you Thursday nights for Tomchei Shabbos. L'mancha l'kim chayim. It's a tremendous, tremendous schus that a person has by being somebody that the tzibur needs. And if you think about it, if you're creative, there are many ways you can help out the tzibur. I'm not looking to overdo the plug that we spoke about the other day by Musar. But when we talked about the idea of guys taking jobs, I won't use the other word, but when leadership opportunities. But when guys do things for the yeshiva, that's something which is critical. I am doing something on behalf of other people. People are going to look at me. I'm the Baal HaChrayis for it, and they need me. I'm the guy. If I'm not vecking, people won't wake up for chakras. If I'm not helping out in the kitchen, guys won't eat. These are all tremendous, tremendous chosim. You come up with an idea for a gemach in the yeshiva. People need quarters for the laundry machines. Have a gemach for that. People sometimes run out of detergent. I have extra detergent. Gemach detergent. All these little things, you know what? People need them. And little by little, you're a person that people need. If anyone doesn't understand the Gemara, I'm open. Look, after Seder, I'm the Gemara Gemach. Guys make themselves available to help out other people. That's a tremendous, tremendous chus. L'mancha l'kim chayim. I'll end with a story, just as soon as I figure out which one I want to pick. No, I spoke about before the guy who was the Baal Chesed who helped out the old lady in the kitchen. And like from that, you know, he helped it out. I'm sure it's a tremendous chesed in Zoch Baden. But Lamaisa, years later, it's pretty crazy. Like he ended up being a huge Baal Chesed, not just helping out one little old lady, but helping out hundreds, but really now thousands of people who were part of this major organization, Chashtei Leif. And it all stemmed. It was a Baal Chesed. It's his warehouse that the whole thing comes from. And there really are a lot of stories, a lot of things like that. That person starts doing like a small little chesed. And from that, it warps into a big thing. And I'll end with a story. When my grandfather, Zadi Mordechai, was sick in his older ages, he had a stroke, and he was, you know, basically homebound. And he wasn't able to go to the shul. And for years, he was always somebody. In fact, Yamin Aram, when he was younger, he blew shofar, he was Gabbai, about tefillah. He was very involved in shul. And unfortunately, as he got older, he was homebound and couldn't go to shul. And I think the Rav, Zal Gesundheit, Rabbi Zuckerman, used to speak about it, you know, Mr. Parnas, maybe people, you know, should go visit. And there's a young guy in the shul who, to be honest, didn't even know my grandfather much. Could be he caught glimpses of him just before he got sick in the shul. And every Shabbos, without skipping a beat, on his way home from shul, he would stop off by my grandfather's apartment, visit him. I think a few times his wife might even bake the kugel for them, dropped off before Shabbos. Very nice man, bring his kids, go help out. Young married guy, his name was Michael Rothschild. What's interesting, some people might actually know the name, this little nice guy, Baal Chesed, decided a few years later to start an organization. People, you know, didn't respect as much the wonderful works of the Chafetz Chaim. So he decided to start an organization called the Chafetz Chaim Heritage Foundation. Ever hear of it? Today, the Chafetz Chaim Heritage Foundation is a major, major organization spreading Torah, Shiurim. I felt left out this past Tisha B'Av. I was in Eretz Yisrael at everything, but I didn't have the Chafetz Chaim Heritage video. Amazing.
They sponsor the Chafetz.
Yeah. This guy, Michael Rothschild, started off doing a simple little chasadim. For those simple little chasadim, Lamaisa, he became a greater, greater Baal Chesed. And said, you know what? Why don't I run a big organization? And the most self-effacing, quiet guy. Most people, he runs one of the biggest organizations in Kalei, so most people won't even recognize him. I was recently, he's very close to Rabbi Shapiro, who works for his organization. And he flew in for Rabbi Shapiro's son's bar mitzvah. So I went over to him, go over to thank him, remind him who my grandfather was. But L'maisa Rabosai, if you take these seven Eitzahs from the Chai Adam Zerv Rosh Hashanah to being a Baal Chesed, to be Mezaka people, learning the Torah, Rabbi Sharfman's Torah in particular, Sof Sotothu B'Kever, to learn a little bit about Tefillah, to make a Kabbalah and Chap, the investment of what a Kabbalah is, make a Kabbalah to learn Musar, and perhaps, finally, to make yourself a Kabbalah, I would say now, but maybe even also to think about for the future. I want to be somebody, whatever I do in life, I want to help out the Tzibur. Whether it's in the form of Habasas Torah, in the classic sense, Rebbe, Rosh Yeshiva, Kirov professional, Rav. But you know what? Be involved, any talent the person has. Help out in Yeshiva's office. I can help out in the building. I could help out in lay leadership. I could be the president of my shul. So many different things. Think about in life. I want to be somebody that the tzibur needs. Make a Kabbalah now to do something like that, but also for the future. I want to be somebody that helps out my community. That's one of the most awesome schosim a person could have. And Be'ez Hashem, we should all be zocha to k'siva l'chasim tova.